Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Beat.
Indeed it is. Good afternoon. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Mark Carmen. Harry Tynowitz in the studio living the dream on a shortened show today. We've got Northwestern basketball coming up. 5:45 pregame, Dave Ennett and Joey Meyer. Hi, Harry. How are you?
I am living a lie, but enough about me. And you and DePaul, man, you talk about your border wars.
I'm fired up.
It's like West Side Story there.
Yeah, tough week for the Cats losing Derek Pardon, but hopefully we'll be back early going in the conference season. That if you're not following Northwestern basketball as closely as you should be, that is their sophomore up-and-coming star center. That's a big blow.
6'8".
With the hand injury. Long arms, plays bigger than the 6'8" frame. Love Derek Pardon. Hopefully they'll have him back soon. But we have a very important topic to start the show. Society is being ruined. Participation trophies are everywhere. Jeff Walls, you may not have heard that name before tonight. Harry, have you ever heard of Jeff Walls?
No, I've heard of Everson Walls.
Great man. Jeff Walls is the head women's basketball coach for the Louisville Cardinals, number 7 in the country, okay? Number 7 in the country, Harry. Let me ask you a question before we play this outstanding soundbite. Is number 7 in the country, is that good?
That is very good, unless you like had been number 1 for a month.
Right. So, number 7 in the country, I mean, that's a competitive basketball team.
Hell yeah.
December, early December to be in that position. Everything's in front of you right there. They were playing number 5, Maryland, and the Louisville women came up a tad bit short.
Mm. The Lady Terps took it to them?
The Lady Terps took it to the Lady Cardinals, and the head coach of the Cardinals, Jeff Walls, was very upset with his team, and he's very, very upset with society.
We just live, right now, the generation of kids that are coming through. Everybody gets a damn trophy, okay? You finish last, you come home with a trophy. You kidding me? I mean, what's that teaching kids? It's okay to lose. And unfortunately, it's our society. It's what we're building for. And it's not just in basketball, it's in life. You know, everybody thinks they should get a job. Everybody thinks they should get a good job. No, that's not the way it works. But unfortunately, that's what we are preparing for. Because you finish 5th, you walk home with this nice trophy, parents are all excited. No. I mean, not to be too blunt, but you're a loser. Like, we're losers. We got beat. So you lost. There is no trophy for us. But unfortunately, the way these kids are brought up today, there is a trophy. Because nobody wants anybody to have hard feelings. Nobody wants to get their feelings hurt. Well, unfortunately, in the real world, I'm not sure how it is with your all's jobs. But with mine, if you lose enough, you get fired. And that's just the way it is. And I'm trying to explain to our kids, like, hey, I'm trying to prepare you for the real world. Because when you go to get a job, there's competition. And what are you going to do to stand out? But unfortunately, we're not preparing these kids, before they get to us at least, to be ready for that.
So, okay, when you get out into the real world, there's competition. This might be the most ridiculous rant, if you want to call it a rant, somewhere in the middle between, you know, the crazy rants of the time, but that you would hear from Mike Gundy or whoever, but he's just so
come out after me. I'm 40.
Right.
I'm a man.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who has a team in the top 10 in the country, and he's railing on his kids because they're losers.
They're losers. To take it a step further, they're losers because they got participation trophies 10 years ago.
Right. And by the way, the kids that he recruited, they didn't get participation trophies. Every damn one of those kids, for the most part, I would guess, was the best athlete on their basketball team, on their softball team, baseball, right?
High school studs.
I mean, these girls who are playing elite college basketball were not getting participation trophies.
The participation trophy is an entirely different conversation than what Coach Walls just talked about. Okay, and he references the fact that he can get fired. Sounds like he's a little nervous, and he's had these kids, even if you're a freshman on that team, okay, he's had enough time with these kids that something that happened when they were 8 or 10, they got a trophy, you know, 7 years ago. That is not the reason why Maryland beat them.
Right. And you know what Jeff Walz does, by the way, Kerry? Because when Jeff Walz was 8 and 10 years old, Jeff Walz was tough.
You know, when you play 3-4 AAU games in one day, you lose three of them, and then you win the last one, and everybody goes home happy. You're 1-3. You know, I know it's a long time ago, but God darn the days we played, when you lost, you went home.
Mm-hmm.
There was no friendship bracket.
Yeah.
Let's go on the left side to the friendship game so everybody can play two more games. No, you went home. You went home a loser. And then you worked at it if you wanted to be good. You figured out a way, hey, I want to get better.
So when he was, when Jeff Walz was a kid,
uh-huh.
He lost, he went home, and he went right to the court, and he just was so dedicated, way more dedicated than the kids today.
Well, actually, for me, in high school, there was a friendship bracket. Unfortunately, it was prom night, and I did go home a loser.
Well, that's why we get along.
Look,
I was a loser on prom night, too. It's okay, Harry.
It's okay. It's okay. I got more TV in that night. You know, I used to say participation trophies were great. You know, I used to think they were cool. And then I saw my own son at a soccer game fake an injury and limp off the field at the age of 7. But when the pizza came for the pizza party after the game, he was, Usain Bolt running to get the slice of sausage. So it made me very upset that they then handed him a trophy. And he went home thinking, hey, I don't have to bust my butt. I can fake an injury, and I'm still going to get pizza and a trophy. So I've done a 180 on the participation trophies. But that is not the reason why the kids lost. And, you know, there's two kinds of coaches. There's the kind of coach that puts their arm around you and says, look, we can do this better. And there's the Bobby Knight coach that screams and yells. Some people buy into that. I don't want that. Coach Walz is going to come into your house and recruit your daughter to go play at Louisville.
Yeah.
Okay?
How's that look?
Oh.
Stay
out of my living room.
Right. It's 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in on this, you are welcome to. It's in our first half hour here. We've got a jam-packed show going all the way to 545. But listen, what I see in kids nowadays, I see more specialization earlier than ever. I see more coaches trying to live out their dreams that didn't happen in high school, college, or whatever, driving kids super hard to get that scholarship. I see
parents.
Yeah, I see parents completely out over their skis all the time, screaming at their kids, screaming at officials, screaming at coaches, putting tons of pressure on 7, 8, 10, 12, whatever year olds. So you can't. This whole society is soft and it was tougher when I was growing up. It's just so incredibly ridiculous. It's more competitive now to get into college than it's ever been. It's more competitive to get a job now, a good paying one, than it's ever been. To sit there and say all these kids are soft, it's ridiculous.
Well, and to blame it on the participation trophies is just insanity. You know, you're absolutely right, Mark. Kids train specifically for a sport. They do get coaching help. Parents do want to live their dreams through their children. And the kids work out now. They work out intense. You know, I was friends with guys on the team in high school. And, they would run. They would hit the weights. But, they would practice. But it was never like the kids today. You got 7-year-olds, you know, they're in the gym doing cardiovascular stuff.
Is this generation soft? Are you with Jeff Walz? I'll give you my thoughts on participation trophies coming back here.
Okay, I look forward to that.
I mean, I didn't get a participation trophy, but I got something that I think was close enough to it. Hey, take home a piece of history, Harry, from the Chicago Tribune. Get your historic own Cubs memorabilia, including the newspaper from the historic win. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com now.
So are you going to be able to fairly assess participation trophies, or are you biased because you never got one?
I think I can fairly assess it.
Okay.
I think I can.
All right.
Ravinia Field Day. 312-981-7200. 720 WGN. Okay, so when I was a kid, Harry Tynowitz.
Yes, Mark Harmon.
720 WGN, we're talking participation trophies. If you're just joining us, Jeff Walls, the head coach of Louisville, had a meltdown after his number 7 in the country, Cardinals, lost to the number 5 in the country, Maryland Terps. By the way, those Terps were raised in the same participation trophy
yes.
era.
Right. The Lady Cardinals.
Right. So he has a meltdown. We're all soft. It's because of participation trophies. Everybody gets a trophy. You're a loser. If you don't win it all, you're a loser. So that's like saying, like, Ernie Banks was a loser because he never won the World Series. Or Karl Malone was a loser. Or John Stockton was a loser.
Yeah, Ernie got MVP trophies. So, right. I mean, is he a loser?
Nope. No, he's a loser. He finished last. So many losers out. I mean, really, by his definition, the whole world is losers. I mean, there's probably people doing radio right now that are getting better ratings than us. Are we losers? I guess we are.
Wow.
I mean, we are. So
I don't think you want to group yourself in with me right now.
I do, actually. I mean, I had field day when I was a kid, Harry.
What happened to field day?
It was blue versus gold. Everything was on the line, sprints, whatever. I don't even remember what we did. It was just a huge deal, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you didn't win, you got to. There would be a second place ribbon, a third place
ribbon.
Sure,
sure. There's a blue ribbon,
right.
Red and white, I believe.
So
or white and red.
So okay, it's not a participation trophy, but you finished third. Is it by his definition, you lost? Should I have gotten a third place ribbon?
So, I mean, is he going to tell somebody that won a bronze medal at the Olympics that they're a loser because they didn't win the gold?
Well, you finished third. You're a loser.
I mean, they just medaled at the Olympics,
and I just think, listen, there is, but you don't like the participation trophy.
I saw it in front of me, and I don't like it because it teaches kids that you can go half-ass on the field, that you don't have to go all out, that you can let your teammates down, and you're still going to walk away with the trophy. Maybe a pizza party as well.
Yeah, but doesn't it really, at the end of the day, I mean, isn't the parent in that situation Papa Harry?
Oh, Papa Harry tried. Papa Harry tried. Come on, buddy, get back in there. Your leg will be okay. You know, just play as hard as you can. And if you can't put all your weight on it, you know, I mean, are you really hurt? Are you really hurt? Oh, I'm really hurt, you know, till it was time to get the pizza. Then he's doing wind sprint. but for Coach Walls to say that the reason why his team lost is because kids get participation trophies, that's an insane connection.
3-1. I just hear it so much now. Kids say they're soft. They're soft. They're soft. It's endless. Society is soft. I mean, we see it in the political world all the time, right? And then it spills over into the athletic world. They're soft. 312-981-7200. Do you agree that society is soft in the sports world? Hey, Paul, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
All right, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Paul.
Give you my viewpoint. Nieces and nephews from 9 to 30. 9 years old to 30 years old, all accomplished athletes. 9 of them. They couldn't be softer, kids. Chicago's a test market. Look, give me 1 minute, and then you can laugh at me. Chicago's a test market for socialism, right? Socialism engineering is I exist, therefore I earn. That is the basis of a participation trophy. Do not let the kid think that what he's accomplishing is as a result of him. It's a result of somebody else. I hire young kids all the time at my computer company. They couldn't be softer. They don't know how to deal with adversity. It's the funniest thing. Now, getting back to the social engineering.
Hold on a second. You're spewing out a lot here, so I want to break it down. What type of adversity that you're calling out are they not adjusting to?
In sports or at my company?
Well, okay, let's go sports first.
They just give up.
They give up.
They give up the minute they're dealt with adversity. Kind of like the thing with your other host, their son limping off the field when he really didn't have an injury. Just give up. They don't try hard.
Hold on. Then how did your 9 nieces and nephews, 9 to 30, if they just gave up, how did they actually have success doing it?
Because they got a grandpa that is on their asses teaching them not to be old school.
But okay, but didn't they do it themselves? Grandpa didn't play, did he?
No, but he's all over them. They wanted to quit. They had to be taught. And
but
I mean,
they
even
didn't.
Paul, if you describe them as accomplished athletes, right?
Yes.
So you're saying, so if they weren't soft, they would be incredibly accomplished athletes?
I think they'd be better. I really do. They don't know how to deal with adversity. Really don't.
What was the level that they achieved, Paul?
Let's see. The older ones are all scholarships to college.
Do you think, Paul? Do you know how hard it is to get a scholarship to college to play athletics?
I do.
So how can
I
you
do.
Say that they're not? I mean, that's so. It's just completely. I don't get that at all. How can you say that they're soft if they got to that level? They're most definitely not.
I would say
you're making veins. You're making veins in Mark's head start to pop.
Right, run that question by me again because I got the strike.
Okay, the whole world is out there playing sports right
Paul
now.
Paul Soft.
If you get to a college and you're playing on an athletic scholarship, that is an incredible accomplishment. You definitely were dedicated. I'm not willing to call somebody who achieves that level soft. Now, if you're telling me that they were in high school and their GPA was terrible and they had all this talent.
I'm saying the accomplished athlete of today is nothing like the accomplished athlete of 30 years ago.
Like,
you have dumbed down the whole system.
I would argue the other way. I would argue that the athletes today are much better. The training is more intense. They have coaching that's never been better. I would say the athlete today spends much more time in the gym, lifting weights, training. They eat right. The diet is incredibly different today than it was 30 years ago.
I think you're confusing activity with accomplishment.
Who was more dedicated to their craft, just to throw out like in a Cubs stance? Like Mark Grace or Anthony Rizzo? I mean, just look at those two, but old school, new school. One guy was smoking cigarettes and drinking every day. The other guy's lifting weights right now. I mean, and that was how basic, and that's like not.
Hey, you say smoking cigarettes and drinking every day like it's a bad thing.
Imagine if Grace had trained.
Well, but a lot of guys back then, a lot of guys, and Paul, we're up against the news.
Trained.
Thank you so much for your call. But a lot of guys back then, that was the thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was the motto. Let's get the wad of dip in. Let's smoke in the dugout. I mean, are you kidding me?
Mark, they're two different conversations. You know, our participation trophies good is one conversation, and then is Coach Walls, the coach of the women's basketball team at Louisville, is he in the right for saying because the kids got participation trophies when they were little kids, his college students lost the game because they're soft? I mean, that's just what a nut job.
By the way, I apologize. Anthony Rizzo is not lifting weights right now. He's in, I think it's in the Greek islands with having.
What, they don't have weights in
Greece? No, they probably, it's a good point. They probably are. Daniel, raising your hand, yes? You were telling me it's break? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I was giving you the wrap sign.
Okay, right, we're late for news. Okay, we'll perhaps get back
to this.
We'll
be lifting some ouzo.
Yes, we'll be lifting weights during the break, 720 WGN.
More so anything, I like the way that we came out, the intensity we came out with. The game wasn't perfect at all, no stress imagination, but against the Lakers, we was very sluggish. I mean, there was no flow and no rhythm to that game. Tonight was, it was all about finding a way to win. And no ego involved at all. And just a total team effort, man. So just a good way to win.
Dwayne Wade, the best player this franchise has had since Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Can I say that?
What?
I know, that's like disrespectful to MVP Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
How about the most professional player that the Bulls have had since Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the greatest player to ever play anything? Would you disagree with that, Harry Tynan?
No, most professional is pretty good. I mean, he's Hall of Fame bound for a reason.
Let's bring in Sam Smith from Bulls.com, my hero and basketball. What would I call him?
Savant?
Well, I just look up to Sam.
How about guest?
You're a guest too. That's true, Sam. But that doesn't really do you justice.
Nice to hear your voice again.
Sam,
doing well.
Sam, it's always a pleasure to speak. I get so excited when Carm says we're going to have Sam Smith on. That's great.
I don't really want you that excited. So.
Too bad. I'm already there. I'm already there.
Sam, are the Bulls a good basketball team? Are they going to be able to sustain this? Because I talked to I've talked to a bunch of you guys who are around the team every night, and some people think 46 wins, some people think 38. Where are you at with this basketball team at 11-7?
When the season started, you know, with so many new players, four or five new starters, I mean, you know, Taj at that point wasn't even supposed to be a starter. I don't think there's any question about that now. So potentially four. And I was saying they looked like a team that would finish somewhere 5-8. I think I had like 45 wins. You know, so I didn't have, you know, you can't, you know, win, you know, a lucky win here or there. But, you know, somewhere in the bottom half of that playoffs. And, you know, they've played better than that. It doesn't mean that they can sort of move up from there. The thing that everybody's got going for them and everybody he says other than the Cavs is, hey, there's really nobody else other than the Cavs that we can't beat. Doesn't mean we will beat them. But, you know, the better teams supposedly were supposed to be Boston, Indiana. Indiana started, you know, had troubles. Boston had some troubles. Toronto's played well. But, you know, as a team, the Bulls swept last year, essentially with the same team, Les Biombo. So, I think it's a really promising start for the Bulls. You know, they've had the most road games in the East in November. You know, even though it wasn't a load of back-to-backs, it's still the games that you play 500 on, you hope to play 500 on. So, you know, where they are at 11-7, and you know, we saw plenty of regular season wins over the Cavs when Derek and Joe and Dang and that group was playing, and then they wouldn't be able to get them in the playoffs. And so, you know, you're still dealing with that. But I thought last night's game was really significant for a couple of reasons. Cleveland lost a couple of games, and LeBron played 45 minutes. You know, so they weren't messing around. They really wanted that game. And, you know, the Bulls they came out with a fury. You know, the Bulls dealt with that. And then, you know, the guys who really stepped up, to use a bad sports cliche, you know, were the two guys who won championships. And, you know, Wade and Rondo had huge games, big plays down the stretch. I mean, I know Mirotić made a couple of steals, and, you know, Jimmy usually bowered his way to the basket, and Gibson was terrific. But, you know, two guys who are not intimidated about, doing a big thing at a big time and knowing they can do it. You know, so we didn't know about that, and that really stuck out to me, even though, you know, there were other things you could point to. Having those two guys, and again, you know, healthy and all, Wade, and they're doing, you know, not playing him tonight, which is smart, you know, makes it a really promising first month.
Sam, last Saturday on the beat on WGN Radio, Mark and I got into it over Coach Hoiberg. How would you assess?
I've heard that one from Mark.
Yeah. So I mean, back me up or tell me I'm wrong, but I think Coach Hoiberg is doing a terrific job with this squad.
Well, you know, where I fall on this is usually somewhere in between. Not that I want to take a position. But I think coaches are, and actually Mark and I had a extension of that discussion last night, because the Minnesota Timberwolves lost another game, and, you know, they're 5-14. And, you know, no, I don't disrespect Thibodeau, as I told Mark, you know, when he came, I vouched for him. Not that they hired him because of me or anything, but I knew him for several years before anyone with the Bulls knew him. And I promoted him as well as others to them, and said, look, you know, this guy's really good. He'll help. And he did. You know, but there's this myth that you couldn't replace him. And without him, you know, the Bulls, you know, were doomed. And Minnesota will be fine. You know, he had I wrote this the other day, you know, and not to criticize Tom, but when Derek and Joe were healthy, the Bulls had the best record in the conference 2 years in a row. When they weren't, they averaged 47 wins and were 6-12 in the playoffs over 3 years. Coaches tend to me to get way overrated. I mean, too much credit and too much blame. Fred got way too much blame last year because of the circumstances. He came in with a team that was, I wouldn't say coming apart so much. I have a tremendous number of injuries. You know, Joe misses half the season. Dunleavy misses half the season. Jimmy misses a month, and he'll tell you now he wasn't the same player when he came back, which is why he tried to play point guard, because he couldn't really get to the basket like he wanted to, Mirotić. So a lot of injuries, and plus a team went on its last, you know, sort of last dance, not 97, 98 last dance, but, you know, see if they've got one run left, and they didn't. And so Fred was essentially riding the ship down. I think he's done really well with this group because in large part, and that's what Phil had with Michael. You have a guy like Wade, and I agree with what you guys said about Wade's influence. You have a guy like that who polices the locker room, polices the team. You know, then you can beat a guy. It doesn't mean you're not the coach. You know, Phil had that with Michael, you know, for six championships, and that makes a big difference. And so it's a long answer to Fred got way too much blame last year for a season that nobody else was going to be much better. You know, is he going to get too much credit now? Was he coach of the month or something? And, you know, probably not. But he's doing a credible job. I thought last night particularly, it was clear, if you want to rate coaching, he was far superior to Tyronn Lue. Matchups, so all went to the Bulls' advantage, took advantage every time the Cavs tried to switch. They put Love on Robin Lopez. They went right at him. When they went to that shooting big lineup, they pounded him inside, but they also had Mirotić to stay outside to, you know, play defense, ends up making a big defensive play. So every button he pulled, you know, he pressed last night, you know, worked well. Is he, you know, elite yet? No. You know, but we, you know, we've given him too much blame, I think. You know, as far as I can, you know, feel, he's done a credible job with his team.
All right, I'll take the Fred Hoiberg conversation offline. I still can't figure out what he's good at, but okay, fine. He did well with the matchups last night. That's Tyronn Lue screamed at LeBron James in Game 7 last year, and the Cavs came back from 3-1 down to win it. He had that relationship with LeBron that he can do something like that. I don't know if Fred can get that done. Hey, Sam, what guy has played in all 19 games that his team has played, is averaging nearly 17 points per game, is averaging 5 assists, is averaging 4 rebounds, is shooting at the same percentage that he shot at when he won the MVP, and is beating Tom Thibodeau the last two nights? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, it's not Joakim Noah. I'll guess Derrick Rose. In a perverse way, what the Bulls really need this season is Derrick Rose.
Right?
You know, because they need another high-level player. But it was time, you know, for Derrick to go. As much as you know, guys know, as supportive as I have been of Derrick, in large part because of this incredible outpouring of criticism at times just for being injured, that it was time, you know, just like with it was time for Thibodeau to go also because, you know, you have a shelf life with a team. And it was time for Derrick, too, that he needed a place where he could get, you know, he didn't have to deal with that on a regular basis. It's, you know, you see it with Jay Cutler now, too. Not that the Bears have won a lot of Super Bowls, but, you know, it's just time. The community, whatever, they're done with a guy. And so, you know, I had no doubt that Derrick is healthy. He's just trying to have a career, and good for him. That's what he should after 3 knee injuries and having to go through everything he went through. And handled himself to me well in all that. You know, all this criticism. He said the wrong thing. He said the wrong thing. You know what? If I was Derrick Rose, I might have said, hey, why was I playing in the 40th minute after I just missed 18 of the previous 22 games and changed my whole career? And it wasn't my decision. So, you know, but he never said anything like that. He never blamed anybody. He said that's, you know, things happen because they're meant to happen. And so, you know, good for him that he's been able to move on, and I hope he has a great career, and the Bulls should hope he has a great career, but it was time for him, you know, the Bulls, to move on. They had no idea Wade was going to come, but it's really saved their season, and it's, you know, it's just been a great addition, and it gives him a chance to have, you know, a really surprising season, because the guy is everything you say, you know. Better talent than Derrick when he was MVP? No. But, you know, you're right. We haven't had a guy in Chicago like this, a pro athlete, since Michael Jordan. And you could go to all the sports. I don't know what goes on in hockey. but whatever it is, there ain't nobody like this guy, I'll tell you. And, you know, since Michael in football or whatever, baseball, this guy is, you know, the sort of the cliche, gets it. This is an athlete who really gets it.
He's special.
Open, honest, candid.
Yep.
Straightforward, and also has still got a lot of game left. Really an impressive guy.
Sam, I know that, let's see if we can get a quick Q&A here before the shot clock goes off. I know they're missing two of their best guys, but are you worried at all about the bench not producing?
Yeah, the bench has been poor, you know, and they really need McDermott back, and they really need Carter Williams. And you know, you can't make excuses because everybody has injuries. But, you know, that's guys 6 and 7. That's not 9 and 10. You know, so 9 and 10 and 11 now have moved up and play in 6 and 7. And, you know, you lose something when that's happening. You know, and so guys, you know, are sort of thrust in and, you know, have to perform. And that is their job to perform. They haven't. And so, you know, that is an issue for them. And that's why, you know, Jimmy played 42 minutes and Taj played 40. But, you know, LeBron was playing 45. So, and then Kevin Love played 42. So, you know, wasn't like they were resting their guys.
Sam Smith, you're the best. I will continue the Hoiberg argument Monday night versus the Blazers.
Absolutely. Unless it's snowing, I ain't coming out of the house. God, I didn't know about that forecast.
Come on, you're like a mailman. Nothing stops you.
No, I'm like Karl Malone. I'm looking for a farm.
At Sam Smith Hoops on Twitter. Read him at Bulls.com. Thanks, Sam. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Sam. Terrific.
Sam Smith, of course, writer of one of the best sports books of all time, The Jordan Rules. Derrick Rose, just for as we go to break here, he hasn't scored in double figures once all year. He scored 3 against the Mavericks in a 16-point Knicks win. He had 24 points last night, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, was 9 of 15 from the field in 34 minutes. So just for the record, and he's 24 last night, 11 in a win before that, 30, 18, 16, 18, 14, 27, 15. He's having a good year.
Yeah, and he invited himself over to Carmelo's for Thanksgiving.
Right. They're all buddies, Carmelo and Wade and D-Rose. They all had turkey. 720 WGN. With you till 5:45. I'm Mark Carmen. He is Harry Tynowitz, Dave Ennett, and Joey Meyer will have Wildcat basketball tonight. The Cats and the Blue Demons. Joey might know a little bit about DePaul University.
He might.
In addition to Northwestern. So Ken Rosenthal, Mr. Baseball, Fox Sports, he sat down with Joe Maddon last night. It was a banquet. And this is the first time that Maddon has spoken. He was at the Yogi Berra Museum and Learning Center in Mount Clair, New Jersey, for an event. And he spoke to Ken Rosenthal. We can go through it here. But, Harry, let's just start with what surprised you the most on Madden's reasoning. He went through every scenario in Game 6 and Game 7 and why Maddon did what he did with Chapman and everything.
He was asked, why did you have Javi Baez try to do a suicide squeeze when he had a 3-2 count? Two strikes, obviously, you know, you bad bunt and you strike out, and that's what Javi Baez did. He said, well, Javi Baez was bad with the 3-2 count, so I went for the squeeze. But Javi Baez wasn't bad in the World Series with a 3-2 count. In fact, his homer that beat the Giants 1-0, that eighth-inning homer that just made the basket because God wanted the Cubs to win the World Series 4 years in a row, that, you know, that's kind of freaky to me that Maddon didn't, you know, have that information correct.
Yeah, it was stunning, really, reading that part of it, that he basically said, you know, it's almost to me like he had forgotten on some level that he has to manage these guys still. Like, it's not over. He said on 3-2, Javi basically swings at everything and gets out 80% of the time. This is his comment. Javi strikes out 80% of the time on a full count, which is not the least bit accurate. It was 40% in the playoffs. He's going to chase. Brian Shaw could have thrown him anything. Jason Hayward is one of our best base runners. If Javi puts the ball down anywhere, there were two things I thought he had a chance of doing. Making contact on a bunt and getting a ball he might actually take. He normally swings on a full count. That's just his MO. The ball has to practically almost hit him for him not to swing. When he hit that home run off Cueto in game one of the division series. It was a full count. But for the most part, when he gets to a full count, it's not normally good. And Cleveland's good at scouting. They know all the stuff. They're very bright. And Javi is probably our best bunter in that situation. Those were the reasons.
Right. And obviously there, of course, he references that he knew that he hit the home run on 3-2. I'll say this. You know, everybody that's upset that he pulled Kyle Hendricks, that he pulled Lester, that Chapman was overused. Let's remember, Joe Maddon created the culture that allowed the Cubs to give up that big lead and come back and win it in the 10th inning. That's all Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon, the Blackhawks today, Corey Crawford had an appendectomy, so they signed some kid off the street who played for the Temple Hockey Club. Joe Maddon would have had Jamerson play goal because everybody goes everywhere in Joe Madden's world.
312-981-7200. We're going to get into a situation that happened at a health club coming back after 5 o'clock. And there's one more thing I want to mention from this article as far as Madden speaking and how he thought about Aroldis Chapman and his bullpen. It's pretty interesting stuff. Ken Rosenthal, great job. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN, happy Saturday, 507 with you till 545. Northwestern basketball coming up, taking on DePaul's. The Cats looking for their sixth win on the year. Big win versus Wake Forest earlier in the week. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. We're about to get to a moment in time that I don't think Harry can relate to. I probably can't either, even though I like to say I could with Zip Fitness out in Arlington Heights. But Joe Maddon, just real quick here, interviewed by Ken Rosenthal at a banquet last night, and every single detail was covered by, did I say Phil Rosenthal?
You said Ken.
Did I say
Rosenthal?
Ken?
Yeah, love Phil Rosenthal at the Tribune.
Right, Phil Rosenthal Tribune, Ken Rosenthal Fox, Ken Rosenthal Baseball. So he's interviewed by Ken Rosenthal, and they go through how he went to his bullpen, right? So here's the question. With a 9-2 lead in the ninth, how was he still in the game, basically?
You're talking about Aroldis Chapman.
Aroldis Chapman.
Game six.
Okay. So, let me rewind. Chapman in game six, 7-2 lead in the seventh inning. Why are you bringing him in? Joe Maddon. They had two guys on, and I did not like who was coming up to hit. I just wanted to make sure that we got through with that with the same kind of lead. If you don't, if I had brought someone else in and the lead diminished at all, I thought the number of pitches that Chapman would have had to throw later in the game would have been more impactful against him. There is no game eight. There's no game seven at that point. It's different. And then he goes on. And in the bullpen, some of our guys have been hurt at the end of the year. Stroppy with a bad knee, Rondon with a bad triceps. Of course, there was CJ and Montgomery, but we could not lose any more games. I thought by keeping the game in tow right there, if we were to add on, I could get him out on the backside and do a reverse kind of thing. So, again, he was just living in fear, man. And you can say that there wasn't a game seven. You have to get there. I get that. But you're up 7-2, and you do have to play a game seven to win the thing.
Where you might need your closer.
Where you might need your closer.
And didn't he also in the same story, he talks, you know, he was asked why after Rizzo hits the two-run homer, and now, you know, you've got 9 runs on the scoreboard, why don't you take him out then? And he did say, well, we probably should have had somebody warming up in case we had gotten a lead.
And so, right, he writes here, it happened so quickly, it was a 5-point lead. Even if he's quoting him directly and Joe Maddon is saying 5-point lead in baseball.
Oh, that's nothing. I'm getting a little
concerned. It's a 5-run lead, but okay. I was still considering leaving him in the game right there. So they're up 5 going to the ninth. He's going to let him pitch again. The negligent part there was not having somewhat warm up in case we add on. We did, and then we got him out after 4 pitches. Okay, and then I don't want to go through the whole article because we're a little pressed for time here, but it's really a great job by Ken Rosenthal going through everything deep into what he was doing. And, I mean, he goes through Lester and how he was talking to Ross in the pen, and Ross was saying that Lester looked good, and he had gotten him up. He didn't want to get him down again. He wanted to use him at that time, but then he goes and he kind of rips Kyle Hendricks.
He also talked about how it was his plan. You know, Rosenthal asked him, you know, you made the statement that you didn't want to bring Lester in unless it was the start of an inning. But yet you brought him in after the inning had started. But here's what I'll say about Joe Maddon is that if the Cubs had lost, I could see a lot of frustrated people saying, why'd he, take out, why'd he pitch Chapman so much? Why did he take out Kyle Hendricks? Why did he take out John Lester? Why did he have Javi Baez, you know, try to do a suicide squeeze? The Cubs came back and won this game because of the culture that Joe Maddon created. He was the best manager in baseball last year. He's going to be the best manager in baseball this year.
I don't know if I want to give him the best. He's very good. I like Joe Maddon a lot. I'm glad he's the manager of the Chicago Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would like to see a little. He did not help them in the World Series. I'm sorry, he didn't.
He didn't help with his decision making. It was questionable, but he helped. He helped their mindset that they could blow a huge lead in Game 7, give up an eighth-inning home run, and still have the fortitude
come
back.
That's fair. And I'll give him. And I'll rewind myself for a second there and give him credit for in Game 5, when he did go to Chapman in the 7th and people looked at him like
yeah.
he was nuts. Well, I don't think they win that game unless he does that. So I'll give him. I'll rewind myself and give him credit for Game 5. Game 6 and 7, he did not help them. All right.
I wish I could rewind myself sometimes.
I feel better now. I hope you feel
better.
You
look better. You look great tonight, by the
way.
Oh,
thank you,
Sport coat, a black shirt. You must be going somewhere really cool.
Well, I'm going to see Dave Ennett and Joey, and it's Northwestern basketball. You got to look good for Dr. Jim Phillips. And we're going to have Nia Coffey from the Wildcats women's basketball
team.
She's
a star.
Coming up in about 7 minutes here. But so here's the story that we want to slip in here. Car crashed through the front window of a health club in Arlington Heights, Harry. This is Wednesday afternoon. The police come over. They jump the median. It was 2:20 in the afternoon at Zip Fitness. You know what the people at Zip Fitness did, Harry?
They kept working out.
They just kept going. I ain't giving up this treadmill moment in my day, buddy. That car could sit right there through the window. I'm still going.
That's insanity to me. I mean, the owner's going to close it, and there's a huge hole in the front window. I mean, the owner's like, okay, everybody okay? So that's the best thing is nobody in the car was hurt, nobody in the club was hurt, and he said, okay, let's get out of here, let's let them clean this up, and they said, no, we need to keep working out. I think of how many excuses I've thought of over the years to not work out. Here you have a gift from God. You got a van barreling through the health club itself. Oh, I can't work out for the next 2 months.
Several members of the club who were working out at the time of the crash asked if they could resume their fitness routine. And the owner, by the name of Pablo Ocampo, said he decided to keep the club open. He turned up the thermostat, fired up the space heaters, kept the gym warm, and Zip Fitness kept going, man.
What is the best excuse you ever come up with, Carm, for not working out?
I pack up and go home if it gets a little crowded. I can't imagine a car driving through the gym and going.
Right. I mean, I pack up and go home if there's people in the parking lot.
I say that I'm going to work out in the morning, and I talk about the success of people who work out in the morning, and I want to get up at 5 in the morning and get on that treadmill or whatever. Not that I ever do the treadmill, but I'll take that morning class or something. But then I always just come up with something. That's my next frontier in life, Harry.
Uh-huh.
The early morning workout.
It's the only time. See, I've never worked out in my life up until recently.
You look great.
I look as my friend Louis Anderson would say. I look less likely to explode.
Dan, how good does Harry look?
Very good.
Stop. You guys are making me blush.
How much weight have you lost, for real?
I have lost 85 pounds and since I started working out and eating right. Who knew you? Salad for lunch? I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Like, you're eating great, but whenever you come in here on Saturdays, I'm like, Harry, you want to have this, you want to have that. You'll have a chocolate chip cookie. You'll have a something.
Yeah, you got to have. I mean,
You've lost this weight and you're not perfect. You're doing other things too.
If you'd asked me 6 years ago, which is easier to give up, booze or chocolate, I would have said chocolate's easier to give up. Well, it turns out I was wrong. But the only reason why I can work out is because there's an elliptical in my house. and I don't have to think about it. I wake up, you know, I'm with the kids, you know, and I teach them a life lesson. I weigh myself every morning, and then I go and I work out on the elliptical, and I'm done before I wake up. Like, my brain wakes up halfway through my workout. Like, what are you doing?
Well, so right, you've trained yourself. You're like a dog.
Right.
You take yourself to the elliptical, and it just all of a sudden happens.
6 days a week, 40 minutes a day.
Why can't I just take myself? Why can't I?
You're in good shape. You play tennis all the time. You got to be in good shape if you're playing tennis all the time.
I mean, you're right. I'm an amazing athlete. Just put that out.
I didn't say athlete. I said in shape.
Well, I know. I mean, did I tell you what's going on with my shoulder?
You had a turkey bowl catch that was the greatest catch in the history
right,
of sports.
Right, it was on SportsCenter. I saw the doc yesterday, Dave Robb, out in out on Rand Road.
Mm-hmm.
Grade one separation, which is the lowest and the weakest, but I still went.
Wasn't that how your last relationship ended?
Perhaps,
grade one separation?
Grade one. So the point is here, Harry,
yes.
That right now I can't do the things that I want to do just because of the shoulder. So I have to do these unfortunate, like, elliptical type of stuff. And if I was at Zip Fitness in Arlington Heights and some car came barreling through and I was doing some boring, just mindless exercise that you do every day, God bless you for being able to do it.
Right.
I would have been out that door in 5/10 of a second.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, it's like it's like the greatest opportunity ever. I mean, there are lame excuses like, oh, I had to get to work on time. You know, if a car went through the front window of the health club and people are still working out. I mean, I had a friend who told me once that they couldn't work out because their mom was coming into town, and so she wanted to clean her apartment so, you know, her mom would think that her life was in order. You know, what is that? You can't do half an hour on the bike?
No, you can't.
Would love to have seen the heart rate monitors when that van went through the wall.
It's a commitment issue. Congratulations to everybody out at Zip Fitness. Way to battle through. Way to get the space heaters going. Way to keep your workout going. Way to not be denied. You are the MVPs in our mind of 720 WGN The Beat today. Hey, Niakovi's also an MVP, dominating on the hardwood for Northwestern's women's basketball team, coming up in 3 minutes on 720 WGN. WGN, searching for Niakovi Wildcat superstar. Been named to the Naismith Award and the Wade Trophy watch list this season, scored in double figures in 55 straight games. Cats and the Blue Demons on the men's side tonight, 5:45, our pregame. Hey, 312-981-7200, the best excuses while we're waiting on Nia that you've ever used to not work out. Who's got a good one? Harry's best was, what did you do? How back in your day when
people never asked me for an excuse. They just kind of looked over and said, oh, you know, I see why you're not going to the health club. I get it. I understand. But that van smashed into Zip Fitness in Arlington Heights on Wednesday, causing a gaping hole in the front window, the front entrance to the club, and the owner was going to shut it down. But all the members of the health club said, we want to keep working out anyways. And I say that they blew their chance to use a great excuse to not work out.
I have witnessed... You know, I go to the East Bank Club often.
Mm-hmm. Name dropper.
And it's a phenomenal, phenomenal place.
Go there for the restaurant?
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk in there, and my favorite workout people are the dude that walks in, takes off his clothes, puts on two towels, goes into the steam room, gets his sweat in the steamer, maybe hits up the sauna, and then goes and sits down for lunch. Splashes down a milkshake, a cheeseburger, maybe a Diet Coke, and then, you know, hey, I went to the gym today. Like, that goes on.
Yeah. You know what? I wonder, did anybody check if the guy that drove the car, if he was a member? Maybe he just didn't want to work out.
That was his strategy, just to drive in?
Right. He couldn't think of an excuse, so he just said, I'm going to take out the gym.
Well, you know, if we go back to the beginning of the show and the head coach at Louisville... Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's soft nowadays, right?
Right, the women's coach, Coach Walls.
Right, Coach Walls. Well, you know, I mean, everybody's got to have a great excuse, right?
The walls came tumbling down.
The walls did come tumbling down. Niakovi is here, Northwestern Wildcat, never misses a workout, always dedicated, even when if a car came crashing through Northwestern's campus and Nia Coffey was shooting jumpers, she would continue to shoot jumpers. Wouldn't you, Nia Coffey?
Yes, of course.
See, that's I mean, when you're a double figure scorer and 55 straight, when you've registered 4 20-plus point games this year, second in the Big Ten, I mean, that's you
dedication.
That you don't let things get silent. Did you see the rant from the Louisville head coach, Nia, about how everyone's soft nowadays and participation trophies? Did you notice that?
You know what? I did not. I try to stay away from social media during the season, so I'm afraid I don't know what you're talking about.
Focused. Maryland's women's basketball team knocked off Louisville's, and the coach said afterwards, Coach Walls, that it was because his kids, when they were younger, got participation trophies. And so the athletes today, American kids, are soft. Your reaction?
Honestly, when it comes to that topic, I don't disagree. I do think just when I was growing up, I did receive, and like people around me did receive participation awards, and I don't agree with it. I think there are winners and losers, and I think a lot has to come learning-wise from winning and from losing, and I think something is missing from that, just from everyone receiving something, because there's a lesson that can be learned, and I feel like some people aren't learning that anymore as much.
Who do you give credit for sort of instilling that drive in you, Nia?
My parents and my siblings, we've all they've always had the expectations really high, and they taught us how to win and how to lose and never to be sore losers, and just always be competitive and don't put blame on others for losing. You just have to look at yourself in the mirror, learn what you need to do right, practice it, and then just do it again. And whatever you do, just make sure you work hard.
And your brother's playing in Minesota, right? How many of your siblings, how many siblings do you have, and how many have played college athletics?
I have an older sister. She graduated this past year from Marist College in New York, Poughkeepsie. She played on the basketball team there. She is going to play professionally in Australia this coming February, so I'm very excited for her. And I have a younger brother. He's a freshman at Minnesota, and he's playing, of course, basketball there. So I only have two. And, yes, we've all played basketball in college, so that's pretty cool.
Mark Harmon and Harry.
So jealous.
Mark Harmon and Harry Tanowitz on the beat on WGN Radio. We're with Nia Coffey, the star of the Northwestern women's basketball team. Nia, your dad was on the Minnesota team, and you were a star in high school in Minnesota. How did Northwestern lure you to Evanston?
It's actually a funny story. I had never heard of Northwestern when I first stepped on the campus. I went on an unofficial visit, and honestly, they didn't have to do much. I absolutely felt like I needed to come here. I was surrounded by beautiful people, and just I felt very loved and comfortable. I loved what the program was about, and I saw that they had potential, and I wanted to help get this program to where it should be. And of course, the academics, basketball isn't forever, so I want to plan for after that. And it just overall had a great, great atmosphere, great package. It's near a major city. Like, I just thought it was perfect. I thought it was just time for me to venture out of Minnesota and see what happens in Chicago. So Northwestern was the perfect fit for me.
And what's up next for the Hoop team, Nia? How are you guys looking at the end of the non-con season and getting ready for conference play?
We have a good schedule coming up. We're playing a lot of good teams, so I'm excited for that. But I'm very excited for the Big Ten season. I always feel like the Big Ten is one of the best conferences in the country, and I'm really happy that we're able to compete on that type of level. But I do see a lot of success for my team. I expect nothing less. And I do feel like we have a great chance of not only making it into a tournament, but if we continue to play well and do what we need to do, we can make a run. So I'm really excited with this team. We have – I hate this word, but we have the potential, and hopefully we'll live up to that. But I'm working hard. My team is working hard. So all we can do is do our best and, you know, live up to everything else. So.
Well, you beat number 16 Florida. You beat Virginia. I mean, that's more than potential. Those are signature wins, I would say.
Yes, and you know what? I try not to look at rankings because I'm not into that. Florida's a great team, and but I definitely think if we do what we have to do, if we stick to the plan, if we play hard, you know, it's going to work out. So I think that's just what we need to stick to.
So hold on a second here. No social media during conference
right.
season.
Doesn't believe in participation trophies.
No participation trophies.
Yeah, rankings don't matter. It's just about going out and playing the opponent.
Nia, what do you do for fun? Would you even allow yourself to go into a Colonel Mustard's Last Stand and have a double cheeseburger?
Because chili dog.
Because I know that I'm stopping
course,
there tonight.
Of course. Every week, and I probably shouldn't say this because our dietitian is really, you know, gives us a lot of good advice, but every week I go right across from my apartment. There's a place called Chicken Shack, and I get fried chicken meal. Mm. So
it's so good.
I do that with my best friend, Lauren Douglas, on the team. We do that every Friday, and we have a little study party. So we have our little fried chicken night. But I love just hanging out with my teammates, just watching movies. We have a whole list of what we're going to do over winter break. We're going to do just, like, cook a bunch of recipes and, like, go shopping and stuff, just stuff like that. So anything, I'm really up for it. So.
And by the way, being focused and doing school and athletics and nothing else, that's totally cool. There's nothing wrong with that. I just want to make clear.
Right. Well, you know, it's nice to see. It's a pleasure to see. And Chicken Shack is great. You are you get a game plan, and you execute your game plan on Friday, Chicken Shack.
Neil, will you be there tonight to support your Wildcat teammates on the men's side?
Oh, yes, of course. I'm so excited for them and just seeing what they're doing so far and just seeing them work so hard and just really just, I don't know, just seeing them from where they started 4 years ago to now, like, it's been nothing but growth, and I just love that program. I like all the coaches. They're so nice. Coach Gates, he's amazing. So I'm just really excited to see what they do this year. So I will definitely be there.
Who wins in horse, you or BMAC?
I think I'm going to have to take that one.
Yeah.
Mark, you got a challenger. Challenger.
Nia, I want to take you on. So I'm going to work with Paul Kennedy and Northwestern higher-ups to schedule a horse contest versus you. Are you down?
Mark was a walk-on.
Yeah.
Mark was a walk-on at Iowa.
I walked on to the intramural basketball team, Nia.
Hey, wherever you can hoop, that's where you should go. So.
That was it.
I love your attitude. I love your game. Keep going.
Congrats, Nia. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Nia Coffey, Northwestern Wildcat, and our Wildcat Insider. Late for news. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Only got 5 minutes here in Wildcat basketball coming right up. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz trying to jam 4 hours into an hour and 45. The news of the day, Corey Crawford had an emergency appendectomy out 2 to 3 weeks. So, Scott Darling, now your number one Blackhawks goalie, Harry. I think that you never want to see something like that happen to Corey, but sounds like he's going to be okay. And Scott Darling, I think, ready for the job. He's done it before, right?
Oh yeah. Scotty Darling last year had to play a long stretch, and the Lamont native was fantastic. And, he was great against the Kings last week. He only started twice in the last month. Today he was solid for about 54 minutes, but they had that one stretch in the second period for about 6 minutes where Flyers just, took it to him. And Corey Crawford, the only Hawks goalie ever won 2 Stanley Cups with the team, and I'm glad he's okay. They signed a kid for one day to be the backup goalie who was on the Temple Club. He was a club hockey player, not like a college team, club hockey. And he wore Crawford's jersey. He wore number 50. What the heck was that?
A little bizarre, but these stories do happen, right? Kurt Warner was bagging groceries.
Yes.
Right? I mean, different guys are doing odd jobs. John Starks had an interesting foray.
I hate John Starks.
What a wuss. So maybe this young gentleman gets an opportunity and shows, although I think that the Blackhawks are probably going to pick up a more experienced.
Yeah, they'll call down to Rockford, and there'll be a new netminder tomorrow night when the Hawks entertain Winnipeg on WGN.
5:30, our pregame right after Hamp and OB with Kaz, and that's at 3 o'clock tomorrow after the 1-10 Niners, 2-9 Bears. Jay Cutler with the surgery. His career as a Bear officially over. We didn't get a chance to, well, not officially over, but it looks like it will be. He will never play another game for the Bears again. Harry, let out your deepest Cutler thoughts.
Disappointing. Just a big disappointment. 51-51, one playoff game. Just a big disappointment.
I'm just going to let that sit there. I feel like that should, we should have dead silence when it comes to, like, there's nothing more to say.
Well, pick one thing about Cutler that disappointed you the most.
I think Jay Cutler actually goes down as maybe the most disappointing Bear of all time. There was so much hope when he came here. There was so much excitement around him. They finally have a quarterback, the quarterback star franchise. Jay Cutler's going to lead us to the Super Bowl. Jay Cutler's something the Bears have never had. And Jay Cutler, let's be real about it, all he has been in his time here has been a disappointment. And you can talk about all the offensive coordinators and coaches and all the stuff that was worked against him, and maybe he didn't. But they built a team around him. They went out and got Brandon Marshall. They went out and got Martellus Bennett. They went out and Alshon Jeffrey. And here you go. We're going to go get you Mark Trestman.
He turned the ball over. He found a way to turn the ball over way too often. He didn't take care of the football. He would do that late throw down the middle of the field. I was never good enough to be on the high school team, but I knew since before high school that if you're getting pressure, the last thing you do is throw the ball late down the middle of the field.
And by the way, I listened to Hamp earlier in the week. He was on Steve Cochran's show on Friday, I want to say. And he's talking about, hey, I don't know what this looks like when Cutler's gone. Matt Barkley? I thought he
played well.
Halfway okay. Hey, before we get out of here, for those on the baseball interest with Chris Sale and the Cubs, and that was a big story this week, would the Sox deal with the Cubs and the White Sox denying that they wouldn't? I don't think that would ever happen. But the rumors with Chris Sale today are the Astros and Rangers are out. The Dodgers are not in there, but the Atlanta Braves, Harry.
They got a lot of young talent in their system.
The Atlanta Braves, the Washington Nationals are both apparently in there on Chris Sale. So maybe with the winter meeting starting this week, come next Saturday, we might have a big-time deal with Rick Hahn, Chris Sale, and company.
Great pitcher, but if you can get a lot for him, then you got to move him.
Dave Ennett. It's actually sad that they're in the position where they have the best pitcher or one of the best pitchers in baseball on a really team-friendly deal, and the only option they have is to trade.
His deal is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's sad that you had this great pitcher, Cy Young Award candidate, should win one, maybe multiple, yet you weren't able to capitalize on it. Now you got a deal.
Did you say you're at the Carm?
I am at the Carm. You're?
Hey, Tweet Harry.
All right, we got to say goodbye. Dave Ennett, Ted. That'll be football. Dave Ennett, Joey Meyer. Coming up from Welsh Ryan Arena, I'm racing out to go see the Blue Demons and the Wildcats next on WGN.